Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Oh boy, Michelle, we got a hot potato today, and that's selling the fertility dream. You know, how many times have you talked about this? You know, back and forth, women are asking, you know, how they deal with this whole issue of, I guess, what we call high-tech babies, and spending money on reproductive medicine and trying to understand what's hype and what's real. This is sort of a wild place, isn't it, Michelle?
Well, it's like the wild, wild west, right? It just, I mean, you just don't know where to go because you're being bombarded with so many different things. And that's why today's segment, I think, is going to be so critical on, you know, having Miriam on talking about this very subject.
Oh, I love it. Miriam Zoll is the author of, this is a great title, Cracked Open, Liberty, Fertility, and the Pursuit of High-Tech Babies. Boy, you better get this book yesterday. She's an award-winning writer and served as lead author and researcher for a number of global public health initiatives linked to the HIV and AIDS pandemic, poverty reduction, reproductive health, and sustainable development. Oh, we have so much to talk about. Miriam, first, welcome to Her Radio. Michelle and I so welcome you, and I know our listeners are listening avidly to what you're going to say about reproductive medicine. I mean, isn't this a place where, don't you feel sometimes you're kind of hooked on this whole world of reproductive medicine so long as your bank account, health insurance, or sanity holds out, right?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I do believe that the reproductive medical world, particularly in the United States, it's always wearing two hats. It's wearing a medical hat, and it's always wearing a business hat. And this is a area of medicine in this country that, as Michelle intimated, is referred to as the Wild West of American medicine. And I was just on the phone today with some folks who are very concerned about the egg freezing technology that's coming out now, that's being marketed in what many women's health and activists are concerned is a predatory manner towards young women who are unsuspecting of the extremely high failure rates around egg freezing, just as there are extremely high failure rates around technologies like IVF, in vitro fertilization. The procedures are very expensive, and for that reason, often it is mainly well-to-do women and men who are accessing them, despite the fact that poor women who have the least access to medical care often have much higher rates of infertility and would never be able to access these technologies that continue to fail two-thirds of the time since they were first used in a successful manner in Britain in 1978.
Yeah, it's such an interesting place to be, because I just want to backtrack for 1 second with you and talk about, so mothers are, you know, women are getting married later on in life, right, because they have a career and or they're traveling, and so they're getting, you know, they're getting married in their mid-30s, and then by 40 they're starting to find out that they are, you know, they want to have children and they can't. So, and then there's this whole movement of, you know, getting to these younger women, to your point, and talking to them about freezing their eggs, and then they don't know what to do. But I guess my point to all this is, once you're inside this kind of alluring world of reproductive medicine, you're hooked as long as your bank account or your health insurance or sanity holds out. What do you think about that?
Well, you certainly are speaking to the mental health concerns associated with women who enter into treatments and often encounter failure and are unable to stop the treatments, particularly if they do have the cash or the insurance coverage to keep paying for them. I have met women who underwent 18 cycles of one form or another. I met a woman who did 21 IUI cycles. All of them failed. And she then went on to do 4 IVF cycles, and those failed. I know a woman who did 3 IUI cycles, 3 IVF cycles, 3 failed surrogacy cycles, and her marriage was destroyed. So the addiction, in my book I talk about turning into a fertility junkie, because I myself, went through infertility treatments for something that I now do not consider infertility. I was one of those women who waited until the onset of menopause to try to have a child. Mm-hmm. And I don't consider myself infertile. I consider myself having missed the natural biological window of being able to have a child.
Right.
So I think the word infertility is being used very loosely today, and I think it needs to be reined in.
Couldn't agree more.
I think that as a physician, you know, I completely agree because, you know, it makes my skin crawl when I hear people sort of just tossing it about. And your specific example with your personal history is a perfect example of how this works. And that is, of course, you're going through a very major hormonal phase in your life, and your ability to be able to maintain a pregnancy is very, very low, you know, as you're going through menopause. So I think that that is important, but I really would love to look at what are the taboos and myths surrounding infertility and science's ability to, and I quote, cure it. Because you really brought up this whole issue of, you know, these people going through countless cycles, and all I'm thinking is ka-ching, ka-ching, you know, thousands of dollars going down the pike here. So are these false advertisements? Are people being led to believe that there's a cure and there's not? I mean, where do you draw the line here?
Well, I draw the line as a former consumer of these medical services, with an effort to build a consumer and women's health movement demanding that the industry be more accountable to prospective customers. There's a lot of inflated hope being offered to women and men who come into any arena of the infertility industry, whether it's IUI or IVF or egg freezing. There have been consistently high failure rates, 80% roughly around the world annually with IVF cycles, 71% annually in the United States with IVF cycles. Egg freezing has a 80 to 91% failure rate in women aged 30, wow. Yet the egg freezing industry is marketing to young women in their 20s and their 30s, and there have been women in their 40s who have had their eggs frozen, even though the data that exists does show significantly high failure rates. So accountability is something that this particular branch of medical services is not being held accountable for. And I believe that a lot of that is coming from the fact that people just don't understand the flip side, the hidden side. And it's women like myself who've gone through treatments who learned the hard way about the health risks, the mental health risks, the high failure rates, who are now starting to speak out because we don't want the next generation to step into the same potholes that we did. And right. We need to have a much more comprehensive conversation around this, and we also need to train the media to actually start probing and asking much more investigative questions rather than reprinting what is often seeming to be press releases generated by the clinics.
Right. So let me ask you this, because we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to make sure we get to some of these points. So can only the rich survive infertility treatments? That's one of my questions. And then why is there a stigma that if you stop fertility treatments, you are weak?
You know, in the United States, where only 15 states provide some form of insurance coverage, you do have many more well-to-do people accessing these services. Are they surviving them? I'm not necessarily sure that, you know, the people who can afford these services are paying a huge price because they're the ones that have the hardest time stopping.
Right.
If they have the cash to keep paying.
I think that the grand majority, I think your point is extremely well taken, and that is that, you know, the rich can last longer. I'm not sure they're surviving them, but they're lasting longer. And I really think that, to Michelle's point, you know, some people are called weak if they, you know, there's sort of a stigma around the fertility treatments. But the bottom line is, you have given us some great pointers here to understand this fertility dream. Thank you so much, Miriam Zoll. The book is Cracked Open, Liberty Fertility and the Pursuit of High-Tech Babies. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.